Chapter 33. I woke up in the back of Michael's pickup, staring up at the stars and the moon, and in considerable pain. Sonia sat at the back of the truck, facing me. Michael lay still and unmoving beside me.
"He's awake," Sonia said when he saw me moving.
Murphy's voice came from the front of the truck. "Harry, be still, okay? We don't know how badly you've been shot."
"Okay," I said. "Hi, Murph. It should have torn."
"What?"
Murphy asked. "Shroud. It should have torn like wet tissue. That just makes sense, right?"
"Shh, Harry, be still and don't talk."
That sounded fine to me. The next time I opened my eyes, I was in the morgue.
This, all by itself, is enough to really ruin your day.
I was lying on the examining table, and Butters, complete with his surgical gown and his tray of autopsy instruments, stood over me.
"I'm not dead," I sputtered. "I'm not dead."
Murphy appeared in my field of vision, her hand on my chest.
"We know that, Harry. Easy. We've got to get the bullet out of you. We can't take you to the emergency room. They have to report any gunshot wounds."
"I don't know," Butters said. "This X-ray is all screwed up. I'm not sure it's showing me where the bullet is. If I don't do this right, I could make things worse."
"You can do it," Murphy said. "The technical stuff always messes up around him."
Things spun around. Michael stood over me at one point, his hand on my head.
"Easy, Harry. It's almost done."
And I thought, great. I'm going to require an armed escort to make sure I get to hell. When I woke up again, I was in a small bedroom. Stacks and boxes and shelves of fabric filled the place, nearly to the ceiling, and I smiled, recognizing it. The carpenter's guest room. On the floor next to the bed was Michael's breastplate. There were four neat holes in it where the bullets had gone through. I sat up. My shoulder screamed at me, and I found it covered in bandaging. There was a sound by the door. A small pair of eyes peeked around the corner, and little Harry Carpenter stared at me with big blue-gray eyes.
"Hi," I said to him.
He dutifully lifted his pudgy fingers and waved them at me.
"I'm Harry," I said.
He frowned thoughtfully and then said,
"Howie."
"Good enough, kid." He ran off. A minute later, he came back, reaching way up over his head to hold on to his daddy's fingers. Michael came into the room and smiled at me. He was wearing jeans, a clean white t-shirt, and bandages over one arm. The cut on his face was healing, and he looked rested and relaxed.
"Good afternoon," he said.
I smiled tiredly at him.
"Your faith protects you, huh?"
Michael reached down and turned the breastplate around. There was a cream-colored material lining in the inside of the breastplate, with several deep dents in it. He peeled it back to show me layers and layers of bulletproof fabric backing ceramic strike plates set against the front of the breastplate.
"My faith protects me. My Kevlar helps."
I laughed a little. "Charity made you put it in?" Michael picked up little Harry and put him on his shoulders. "She did it herself. Said she wasn't going to spend all that trouble making the breastplate and then have me get killed with a gun."
"She made the breastplate?" I asked.
Michael nodded.
"All of my armor. She used to work on motorcycles."
My shoulder throbbed hard enough to make me miss the next sentence.
"Sorry, what did you say?"
"I said you'll need to take your medicine. Can you handle some food first?"
"I'll try."
I had soup. It was exhausting. I took a Vicodin and slept without dreaming. Over the next couple of days, I managed to piece together what had happened from talking to Michael and, on the second day, to Sonia. The big Russian had come out of things all right. Marcone, after getting me and Michael out of the water, had called Murphy and told her where to find us. She had already been on the way and got there in only a couple of minutes. The crew of the train, it turned out, had been killed. The three goons that had been trussed up on the train had bitten down on suicide pills and were dead when the cops found them. Murphy had taken us all to Butters instead of to the emergency room, since once my gunshot wound was reported, Rudolph and company could have made my life hell.
"I must be out of my mind," Murphy told me when she visited.
I swear, Dresden, if this comes back to bite me in the ass, I'm taking it out on your hide.
We're fighting the good fight, Murph, I said.
She rolled her eyes at me, but said,
I saw the body at the airport concourse, Harry. Did you know him?
I looked out the window at Michael's three youngest playing in the yard, watched over by a tolerant Molly. He was a friend. It could have been me instead. Murphy shivered.
I'm sorry, Harry. The people who did they get away from you?
I looked at her and said,
I got away from them. I don't think I did much more than annoy them.
What happens when they come back?
I don't know, I said.
Wrong, Murphy said. The answer to that question is that you don't know exactly, but that you will certainly call Murphy from the get-go. You get less busted up when I'm around.
That's true. I covered her hand with mine and said, Thanks, Murph.
You're gonna make me puke, Dresden, she said.
Oh, so you know, Rudolph is out of SI. The assistant DA he was working for liked his toadying style.
Rudolph the brown-nosed reindeer, I said. Murphy grinned.
At least he's not my problem anymore. Internal affairs has to worry now.
Rudolph in internal affairs? That can't be good.
One monster at a time.
On the fourth day, Charity inspected my wound and told Michael that I could leave. She never actually spoke to me, which I considered an improvement over most visits. That afternoon, Michael and Sonia came in. Michael was carrying Shiro's battered old cane.
We got the swords back, Michael said. This is for you.
You'll have a better idea what to do with that than me, I told him.
Shiro wanted you to have it, Michael said.
Oh, and you got some mail.
I what?
Michael offered me an envelope and the cane as a unit. I took them both and frowned at the envelope. The lettering was in black calligraphy and flowed beautifully across the envelope.